Good evening and welcome to the Safilo Group conference call for the second quarter and first half 2014 results. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary even significantly to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer, Vincenzo Gianelli, Chief Financial Officer, and Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Ms. Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer. Ms. Delgado, you may begin.
Thank you very much, and good evening to everyone. I welcome you to the presentation of our second quarter and first half of the year of 2014 results. I'm pleased to report that we are on track. Our results show that 2014 is shaping our long-term business strategy, which is healthy growth for the medium and long term. We want to achieve that by being product-centered and in particular revalorizing Italian craftsmanship at the core of our mission. We want to be quality-focused. This relates to product as well as sales and distribution. And as regards operations, we want to be operationally rigorous, and this includes simplification of our operations, namely IT-enabled. We want to build capabilities systematically and have started so in this first half with focus on global commercial organization, proprietary brands capability, and product, both in terms of design, development and creation, as well as supply. And finally, we place particular emphasis on being powered by talent, continuously upgraded and developed. In the first 6 months of the year, we in particular increased the quality of our sales. This is namely evident in terms of distribution channels, offering rigorous selectivity to our highest end fashion luxury brands, while at the same time promoting broader doors for our contemporary luxury brands and developing new channels for the mass cool segment, where we play a major role with Polaroid. This is all about a brand-driven differentiation strategy of distribution, one of the pillars of our new globally integrated commercial operation. And we are pleased to see that this new strategy is providing us with a sequential sales mix improvement and helping us to convey greater operational efficiency, an area where we have a strong commitment to do better, to improve namely our planning, product development and supply processes. In the first semester, we have also implemented a new organization for proprietary brands encompassing Polaroid, Carrera, Safilo and Oxido, with all business functions coming together in a new multifunctional global organization. Focus here is on brand building skills, a for Safilo relatively new capability. Specifically, our sales growth accelerated in quarter two to 7.4% at constant exchange rates versus last year. And this compares to our 1.9% in quarter one. And we're also pleased to say that July growth is further accelerating significantly beyond the quarter two number. Therefore, we can report that for the first half, our total revenues performance is in black, although at current exchange rates, at constant currencies, the sales were up by 4.7%. We see an increase in the quality of our sales in several ways. Business trends are very positive in Europe, where we work with strong partners and are progressing very well by building sustainable, trustful relationships step by step through reliable and very compelling sales propositions, joint business plans, and joint scorecards. Our strategy of single-minded sales interventions by relevant customer, differentiating customers, building on shopper and market needs, is paying off. And we are very glad to see sequential improvements also in our southern European market. In North America, we're experiencing sales recovery. The sun market became healthier, and we saw improving trends also in Solstice, which, as you remember, we have made our global shopper laboratory for global learning, as well as then in the department store channel. New for this region is now our globally coordinated operations, which translates into a fully integrated worldwide brands portfolio strategy, which naturally benefits North America versus the past when it was a relatively standalone operation. As regards Asia, I'd like to say that it is still to come. The need to promptly take advantage of the many opportunities that are offered by the different markets in the region has led us to make immediate radical changes to our local organization, leadership, and operations. Similarly to what we did in South America at the very beginning of this semester, and we are therefore equipping ourselves with new capabilities, a new commercial structure aimed at achieving sustainable growth and strengthening our corporate reputation in the Asia region. We have recently started managing Asia through two business units, China on the one side with direct corporate global focus, and Asia Pacific on the other. This is aimed at giving more and direct global investment and resource focus to China as a key growth market, and at the same time enabling a more targeted focus on the Asia Pacific priority markets like Korea, Hong Kong, and Japan, where we need tailor-made commercial approaches by distribution channels and brands portfolio. We expect sequential improvements to materialize very fast as these changes get into gear. As a matter of fact, our key emerging markets delivered very well in quarter two, up about 18% at constant exchange rates, with Brazil, China, and Turkey leading the way. In quarter two, as well as for the first 6 months, the economic profile of the business overall was sound and provided for the consolidation of a solid financial leverage, our must and priority, whatever we engage in today and we will engage in tomorrow. Quality of distribution and sustainability of sales are at the heart of our operating principles, and they are proving a strong driver for our industrial profitability and eventually for our net profit. Gross profit for the second quarter was sizable, whilst confirming the strong level of profitability achieved in the same period of 2013, when there was still extensive use of solidarity contracts and obsolescence had been reduced thanks to the lower than expected levels of closeout as a result of the termination of licenses at the time. Bottom line, for the second quarter and first 6 months, we confirmed an increase in the adjusted group net profit of 23%, with an opposite dynamic between increasing SGA costs and declining net financial expenses. I now hand it over to Vincenzo, who will take us through the details of these results, and then I will come back and briefly conclude before we take questions at the end. Vincenzo.
Thank you, Luisa. I will start with some additional comments on our sales performance by main geographies, and starting from Europe, slide 8. In Europe, we ended the second quarter up 9.5% at constant exchange rates, 9.2% as reported. The area was again the main driver of our top-line growth, with continental markets performing well, Germany and France in particular, and positive trends also materializing in two of our core sunglass markets, Spain and Portugal, namely. Here we are benefiting from the continuing progression of Polaroid's business, which is moving fast thanks to its increasing integration with Safilo commercial network. In the first half, sales in Europe were up 6.3% at constant exchange rates. Moving to Americas, in the quarter, where overall the region was overall up 7.7% at constant exchange rates, plus 1.5% current exchanges, whilst it ended up positive 4.0% in the first half, just slightly negative at current exchange rates, minus 1.6%. As said, we saw business recovery in North America, with sunglasses outperforming prescription frames, thanks to the uplift we recorded in the contemporary luxury segment where we play with brands like Fossil and Bobby Brown, but also in the mass cool and sport segments where we are becoming relevant respectively with Polaroid and Smith. In the quarter, we did well both in our Solstice stores in US, which returned to positive like-for-like sales up 1.7%, as well as in the department stores. In our core Trios channel, where our quarterly performance was okay, We are today focusing on differentiating more and better our business propositions by relevant customer segment. Moving to Asia, slide 10, our strategic actions have already been described by Luisa. I would just remind that revenues were down 1.1% at constant currencies, minus 5.7% at current exchange rates. While the business was basically flat compared to last year in the first half, down 4.1% at current exchange rates. Market trends highlighted some weakness in the travel retail business and flattish trends in Japan compared to the growing performance of the latest quarters. Moving to slide 11, we thoroughly discussed about the positive impact of the sales mix on our industrial performance. Let me just remind you that in Q2, gross margin was basically in line with the very high level achieved in the same period last year at 63.7%. The drivers of this result are pretty different between the two periods. Sales mix is positive this year because of better channels, but also because this year our mix is fully focused on going forward new brands, while last year we used to still have closeout sales of terminated licenses. Second, Made in Italy volume is positive. To give you an indication, the utilization of the solidarity contracts, which was standing over 25% last year in Q2 in the three Italian plants, was less than 10% this year. On the opposite front, obsolescence. Last year, proper management of phase-out helped us to reduce inventories with low levels of obsolescence. This year, inventories are going up, and we are adjusting provisions accordingly. For the first 6 months, our gross margin improved by 110 basis points to 63.3% of sales. As you know, in the second quarter of 2014, our operating results included non-recurring expenses for €3 million euro related to the voluntary exit incentives recently signed with employees and trade unions as the solidarity contract came to an end at the end of August, and also to some reorganization costs. Net of the fiscal effect, the total impact was equal to €2.2 million euro. I will thus make my comments referring to the adjusted results. The adjusted EBITDA reached 11.6% compared to 12.5% in the second quarter of last year, 90 basis points dilution, which is explained by the growing marketing expenses related to commitments on the licensed brands that did well in 2013, as well as to the startup cost for the launch of the new licensed brand. Our operating leverage is meant to stay somehow subdued this year, also in consideration of the sequential investments on our enterprise capabilities. For the first 6 months of the year, our adjusted EBITDA stood close to 12% at 11.8%, 30 basis points lower than in first half 2013. Below the operating line, the quarter was again characterized by the strong reduction of net financial expenses, reflecting both the different mix of funding sources and the positive impact of exchange rate differences. All in all, our adjusted group net profit reached €15 million euro in the second quarter and €31.5 million euro in the first half, with its incidence on sales improving respectively by 80 and 90 basis points. On the financial front, moving to slide 14, at the end of June, our net debt stood at €166.1 million, euro, down €41.4 million compared to the figure recorded at the end of the first quarter. I would like to point out that this reduction is partially explained for €22.5 million euro by the effect related to the option component of the new equity-linked bonds. Free cash flow for the second quarter amounted to €18.2 million, euro, with investing activities totaling €10.5 million, euro, including €3.8 million, euro mainly invested into IT systems. As I highlighted before, the increase of working capital is also due to the volume growth of Polaroid and to the launch of Fendi and Bobby Brown, whose sales contribution is expected to grow progressively as we move along the year. I would like to conclude by mentioning our adjusted financial leverage standing at 1.37 times at the end of June. So So now, Luisa, back to you for your additional remarks.
Thank you, Vincenzo. In concluding, let me draw your attention to three important milestones of the past days and weeks. We have today announced the anticipated renewal of our Tommy Hilfiger license, leading us to a renewal to December 2020 with an optional 5-year extension. This is important for us. Tommy is the beacon of our contemporary luxury segment. We launched the eyewear licensing agreement in fall 2010, and we have since partnered with Tommy Hilfiger to consolidate and grow the distribution significantly. And now the focus will be on expanding distribution in Asia, in Latin America, both key markets with significant potential for expansion and category growth, and, I repeat, an important license for the contemporary luxury segment. The second important milestone is the confirmation that we are on the right track with our major focus on accelerating growth of our proprietary brands, flagship right now being Polaroid, which has taken the lead and is showing exponential share growth, being clearly the brand of the moment in its unique combination of trust in polarized lenses and the Polaroid name, accessible price, and as a consequence, unbeatable value proposition to consumers. Specifically, Polaroid has seen the highest volume growth among the top 10 brands within the sunglass segment in Europe, 5, that we have just seen based on the data. The third milestone reflects the confirmation of our commitment to skillful, high value-added quality eyewear manufacturing in our Italian plants. This represents a cornerstone of our product-centered strategy, and we are committed in combining it with innovation, operational reinvention, and efficiency increases. And with this purpose in mind, we have confirmed that we will not renew the solidarity contracts that expire at the end of August for our plants of Longarone and Santa Maria di Sala, as we started to see resulting increases in our Italian production needs. We will therefore be able to go to full work for these two Italian plants and have found a socially sustainable solution that we have worked constructively together with our employees and our unions with our commitment, I repeat, to increase production efficiency and strengthening staff training and requalification. The very constructive discussions with employees and unions have led to a socially responsible voluntary departure framework agreement for around 100 people that gave us the ability to take into account individual, personal, employee and family needs and find equitable and sustainable solutions for all. This is who we are. Eyewear is who we are and how we have gone about leading eyewear creation and being a partner of quality and trust since 1878. We thank you for your time and attention, and we open the line for questions.
Thank you. Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question comes from Basil Chugari of Berenberg.
Oh, hello. Three questions from me, please. The first one is on Asia. Could you please share with us what part of your performance is coming from the reorganization and which part is coming from the fact that we don't have our money in the region anymore? My second question is on Polaroid, which seems to be doing very well from a sales volume standpoint. Maybe you can share some color with us on the profitability of Polaroid. And the last one is on the impact from your new licenses. You've been taking quite a lot of marketing and startup costs here. Should we expect that the profitability from these brands will go up and you get more leverage in the second part of the year? Thank you.
I can start with some facts and then people will elaborate a little bit on these questions. I would say on Asia, if we look at the performance, the sales performance year on year, I would say that Armani has nothing to do with this performance because last year the license was not there any longer. We had only a few closeout sales. Then strategically, of course, the offset replacement of Armani in that region is a different question. But in terms of numbers, the performance year on year, the incidence is zero. With reference to Polaroid, of course, the success, the growth of the top line is bringing to an improvement of our profitability on Polaroid, which used to be below average last year because of the large investments for the launch in the green fields and for the support of the brand. This year, these investments are having a return, and so profitability is improving and getting closer to the average profitability. With reference to new licenses, of course, the weight of marketing is important. The sales have just started, so let me say that if we have a good progress of net sales in the second part of the year on these new licenses, this could be better. But of course, in terms of marketing expenses, we are experiencing this year an increase of the overall marketing expenses also on the ongoing and going forward licensed brands, mostly because of the success and the development of those licenses last year, because in most cases, the marketing expenses of this year are a function of the growth experienced last year. So I would say that this is going to continue also in the second part of the year. Luisa wants to elaborate.
Hello, Basel. Thank you for your question. I'd like to elaborate briefly on Asia and the capability incidence of or impact on results, but above all, what can be expected going forward when capability is now pretty fast being built up. There is no doubt that our total, in the past called Far East region, was operating not with sustainable capability processes and integration with the globe. And as a consequence, product flows, particularly product supply and delivery, was not fully under control. We have China on one side, which is doing very well, and we wanted to immediately dedicate more corporate focus on China. We have Korea, Japan as the two key markets where clearly the not fully consistent capability did not help us to deliver our results and is now in place fully consistently, including we have drafted some of our top talents from other regions into Asia, building up a sustainable organization to fully leverage the market. So that's what Asia is all about. And we have tremendous opportunity in Asia. Many markets are white space. We are not fully using our total portfolio and have now put in place commercial plans and strategy and direct connection and coaching from the headquarters as well to support a region that clearly is one of the great sources of growth for Safilo.
Thank you. Just a quick follow-up on China, please. Is it more driven by sun or prescription?
We don't think there is any particular difference. We see both, depending on the brand. But I wouldn't say that there's any marked difference between one and the other in terms of growth between the two categories, different from anywhere else.
Our next question comes from Andrea Bonfa of Aletti.
Hello, good evening. My questions are regarding the EBITDA guidance for this year. If you can confirm that 100 basis points of margin improvement at EBITDA level is a bit below the line. And the second one is related to what the state of the art with the Carrera brand, because now Polaroid seems very stressful, but you are not mentioning anymore Carrera, so I would like to know what's your view on state of the art for that brand. And finally, if I may, if you got an estimation of what might be at current exchange rate the impact of Forex for the second half of the year. Thank you.
Okay, on guidance, we are not giving a specific guidance. I can repeat what Luisa already said. July was a good month with some momentum versus the performance of the first 6 months. And that's it, of course, on guidance. On the foreign exchange, let me say that, of course, in the first 6 months, we had an impact which was significant on the top line, less significant on the bottom line. At the current levels, I would say that it's minimum. We have only some impacts on real in Brazil, yen in Japan, but the euro dollar exchange rate is quite in line with our expectation in this very moment. So going forward, if it stays like this, it shouldn't have any specific impact year on year. On Carrera.
Thank you for the question on Carrera. And obviously, Carrera is a key building block in our aspiration to double the proprietary brand business in plus minus 5 years, as I had the occasion to say here repeatedly on this call. It is a fact, as you say, that Polaroid is a step ahead of everybody else for the simple reason that in terms of brand equity, clarity, Polaroid is or can be driven and expanded, and the market is reacting accordingly as we see. As regards Carrera, as I had the occasion to comment here as well, we have taken the past months to buy the book, reflect, articulate and develop a brand building platform, a product strategy and a commercial strategy to be ready to launch Carrera in its reinvented form as of Gen 15, starting to engage customers in the fourth quarter of this fiscal. So we're getting ready, and we have clear plans being put together for the next 5 years on Carrera. I also take the opportunity to say that it is not only Polaroid and Carrera. We have a tremendous brand with Smith Optics that also we plan to take global. It's probably one of our best brands in terms of equity and potential and relevance with the zeitgeist of today. And you know, Safilo acquired Smith about 18 years ago, and it has essentially remained North American snow and technical sun focused, and therefore we see potential and have a lot of appetite to make Smith the flagship of our sports and outdoor segment, which is the fifth segment we plan to play in. And finally, we have also Safilo, our house brand par excellence, which has a tradition of innovation, technology innovation, and also there we plan to rekindle Safilo's brand potential. And finally, we have a niche brand, a hipster brand called Oxido, that we also believe has its place in a very selected distribution strategy. So those are the brands and the plans, but it is a sequential approach led by Polaroid at the front, and one by one, the others will kick in as we get ready, but we will only invest and go for global expansion when we are sure about the brand building and brand equity fundamentals. Otherwise, we would be pushing water uphill.
In margin expansion, the previous call you mentioned that a 50 to 100 basis point margin expansion this year is feasible. Are you of the same opinion?
I mean, of course, the margin of this year, because of the importance of the operating leverage, is strictly linked to the performance on the top line that we will be able to reach. As I said, we saw some momentum in July. We had a mid-single digit growth in the first 6 months. If we stick to that kind of growth, due to the commitments in terms of marketing expenses and limitations on in terms of operating leverage, we cannot have a big step forward in terms of margin. But of course, it is a function of the top line growth that we will be able to achieve in the next 6 months.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Domenico Giolotti of Equita.
Good afternoon. Three questions. The first is related to the price environment. Your competitor was commenting about some price increases already kicking in. I'm interested in understanding if you are also raising prices, and in particular, if the Q2 performance was already affected by some price increase or it was just volumes. Second question is on the current trading, because I was surprised to hear quite confident tone, in particular also on Mediterranean Europe, in spite of very bad weather conditions. So I would like to have some additional color on the reorder from your clients, and if you are seeing, say, good reorders in this region. And the third question is on the solidarity contract. I would like to better understand what's really changing after the end of August when the contract expires. So if you have some additional cost to be taken in your P&L, because you were commenting about growing capacity utilization, but probably I'm not sure you are fully offsetting the needs with the 100 voluntary exit.
Okay, Domenico, let me start with the first one about price volume. Of course, we have some selective price increase, but let me say that looking at the performance of the first 6 months, most of the growth is coming from improvement of the average price, which is mostly coming from a higher mix. So it's not about volumes, but it's not even about price increases. It's mostly mix. Okay. With reference to the current trading in the Mediterranean area, the weather, etc., of course, depending on the different cycle of sell-in, sell-out, it's early to see any specific effect of the weather conditions on the reorders for the summer season. We will see this as an effect of reorders, new orders for the new collection, depending on the inventory that will be there in the trade area. While with reference to the, but let me say, in the first 6 months, the Mediterranean area, Italy to some extent, but even more Spain and also Portugal on sun, we had a good performance with mid-single digit, and in some cases also Portugal, for instance, it was double digit. With reference to the solidarity, no, because, I mean, as I said, in the Q2, the utilization of the flexibility of the solidarity contracts was below 10% in the three plants. Of course, the solidarity is getting to an end in the two most important plants in terms of size, of course, which are Santa Maria and Longarone. There is still solidarity up to February 2015 in the smaller plant in Friuli. As we said, there were about 100 voluntary agreement. So let me say that we should be in line with our cost targets. There should not be any kind of material impact in the unit cost, in the labor cost, vis-a-vis the volume requirement that we are forecasting in this very moment.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Flavio Cerdera of Merrill Lynch.
Hey, good afternoon. Vincenzo, quick question for you, please. Can you give a little bit more detail as to the situation as far as inventories are concerned? Because it's a 19% increase year on year, which is quite a significant one for a Q2 number. So if you could just explain a little bit what's going on there. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Flavio. Yes, of course, the increase of the inventory is higher than the increase of the net sales. But as a matter of fact, last year, end of June, was a very specific moment. Inventory were low, very low, also because we were at the end of the closeout period after the phase-out period of the important terminated licenses, and as we managed that exit in the proper way, we had got rid of the inventories related to that portion of our business. While now we are regrowing our business, including new brands. These new brands are manufactured internally. The most important, of course, is Fendi. So in that case, we have to refill the entire pipeline starting from raw materials. So it's not only about finished products, but it's also about adding raw materials. And of course, we are expanding Polaroid significantly. So we have higher inventories on that brand specifically. Part of this increase is something that we have to control going forward, as you have seen, and I mentioned that also in terms of comments on the gross profit. We are adjusting obsolescence provisions because there might be something more than needed in those inventories, but it's something that we are taking care of. But most of the increase is because of this difference, the termination closeout of Armani last year and the new developments this year.
Okay. Thank you, Gatti.
As there are no further questions in the queue at this time, I'd like to hand the call back to the speakers for any additional or closing remarks. Pardon the interruption. There's just two further questions. We have a follow-up now from Basil Chugari of Berenberg.
Just one other question for me, please. On Carrera, could you please share with us the performance of Carrera on the prescription side, please?
Let me say that Carrera on prescription has already performed well last year, and it's continuing to do well, mostly with big chains in Europe, in Northern Europe, in Germany, in France. So it's continuing according to the growth rates experienced in the last 2 years, let me say. So it's doing well. Of course, now it's also it has become relevant also in the prescription frames, while before it used to be quite exclusively a Sun brand.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Gianluca Pacini of Banca IMI.
Hello, good evening, everyone. My first question is on the pricing policy. So I got that the driver was the mix in the first half. The point was, are you going to increase prices in the second half and so we can see something in line with competitors? And further question is on the financial charges. If you could give us an idea about the positive effect of hedging policy, if I'm correct on my calculation. And to finish, have some around that your target is to increase the in-house business at around 40% of total turnover. Is this correct? And if yes, what it could be the time frame you are referring to? Thank you.
Gianluca, would you please repeat the third question because it was not clear to me?
Yeah. Someone is talking about a target of 40% as an in-house brand, so increasing the percentage of the business related to the, let's say, Carrera and Polaroid, which is not in line with my estimate. So I would like to understand if I'm missing something.
Okay, I start with the first two questions. In terms of, price increase, so far there is nothing to say. If any price increase is to be announced, it is a commercial item. We do not do that during calls with financial investors. But so far there is nothing to say on that respect. With reference to financial charges, no, my comment on the hedging, on the accounting, on derivatives, etc., was about the balance sheet amount for the underfield. But in terms of financial charges, that does not have any impact because, in terms of P&L, the financial charges which are charged to the P&L are related to the figurative cost which would be there if a similar plain vanilla transaction bond would have been done. So in terms of financial charges, of course, we are not having on the P&L the benefit of having a low coupon, which is only under 25 basis points. On the P&L, we have the figurative cost, and so we have also to accrue the spread, the credit spread for a similar plain vanilla transaction.
I will take the question on proprietary brands. Three things to bear in mind. The first one is we do see potential to double the sales of our proprietary brands. And this is the sum of Polaroid, Carrera, Smith, Safilo, and Oxido. The second thing to bear in mind is that as a total corporate portfolio, we are aiming for more balance between licensed and proprietary business. And therefore, not only by doubling current business, but also adding potential acquisitions over the next 5 years, we would expect to get to a balance that is closer to 40-45% of proprietary business and the rest of licensed business, over 5-7 years. So those would be the two things to bear in mind. The underdevelopment of our current proprietary brands is evident to all of us, and there we clearly are starting to see the plans for the next 5 years. Acquisitions will depend on what's available, but we will always be wanting to expand also for proprietary brands the segments in which we play and avoid doubling or cannibalization within the same segment. I hope this answers your question. It was a bit difficult to hear you, so I hope this
I'm sorry. No, it's okay to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a final reminder, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. If there are no further questions, I'd now like to hand the call back to the speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
We thank you very much for your interest and attendance and wish you a good summer and look forward to seeing you for our quarter three results in November. I believe it's the 6th. So thank you very much and good evening to everybody.